Hello, welcome to ABW Radio. Happy New Year, fuckers. What's happening? In the chat box, we have And235100, Daniel Kupka, EC, Stan the Man 450, Kelly Ma, who's on it already, Phil Weaver, K-Man's 1867, Petito 100, MJL. Have I mentioned Daniel Kupka? Yeah, I probably have. I'm not fucking happy. What a bag of wank that was. Yes, today I'm joined by Danny the GFP. Say hello, Danny.
Hello, Jason. We've had a word. You're not allowed to hurt my feelings any more than you already have today.
Shut up. Be quiet. Do as you're told. You right, pal?
Yes. I'm all alone. Good man. For the first time in 47 years, I never spent a New Year's Eve on my own. Good job I don't like New Year's Eve.
That's because you're a twat, though. Sam Greaves is in the box. Alex Belinsky. Stephen Mills. Stephen Edwards is there. Stephen Edwards. You can't blame Aaron Ramsey for that. Shivan Tata. Sidhu 7549. I think I've got you all there. Next, I've got John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello. What's the fucking point?
I know. Fucking rubbish, isn't it? Josh Kakluskas is there as well. I tell you what, all the favourites are there. Hello. Hello, all. And to top off our dream team today, we have the Dirty Pirate. All the way from the seven seas with a yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. It's Chris Carpenter. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Yeah.
You're right, Jason.
I'm happy. You know I'm not happy.
I know. I'm all right.
Well, I'll survive. We'll have to, won't we? It's time to go is in the chat box. Bradley Tucker, Charlie Davis, Lambs are there. Tell you what, fair play, guys. New Year's Eve and you lot are there. I'm very impressed. Right, okay, so it's Wenger's 800-length game becoming the most games managed in the Premier League. Very impressive achievement. And in the lineup today, we had no Ozil. Chris, you said Ozil had a knee problem. Talk to me.
He had a knee problem, but was that seriously that bad an issue? I'm not 100% sure. I think it was more a case of probably resting him ahead of Chelsea, and I think they probably looked at this game and thought, we've got enough to win it without him. So I wasn't actually that surprised, to be perfectly honest with you. We did lack his creativity, of course, but it's easy to say that now. If we'd have gone and won the game, nobody would have mentioned it. So bit of benefit of hindsight, but yeah, I'm sure he'll be back for Wednesday.
Cool. Okay. Hakim Olasende? Olasende? I'm not sure. Apologies, Hakim, if I've got your name wrong. JGP3000's there. I've said Lambs, haven't I? Aruba 7 is there. Stefan Selby, MSM25, Jeffrey O'Hara. Trying to give you all a shout out because you are joining us on Christmas Eve. Himanshu Tanija. Yeah, hello.
Did you say Christmas Eve?
I may be seven days behind, you never know.
or in the future.
John, game started. We started with a really early press. We looked to be really positive in starting the game, didn't we?
Yeah, the tempo was quite good for the first sort of 10, 15 minutes. We were pressing high, trying to win the ball back quickly. Everyone was moving nicely. I thought the lineup choice was interesting, the fact we stayed with the back three. I kind of got it because I thought, oh, okay, this is so we've got an extra centre back for helping defend with set pieces and stuff, because it's the one thing West Brom do offer a threat is aerially and from corners and stuff like that. So I was, you know, first 10, 15 minutes, I was like, oh, okay, this is looking decent. West Brom are the bottom, aren't they, of the league? Just above Swansea on goal difference, but joint on points. And Pardew's come in, so I thought they're not going to be as solid at the back as they were under Pulis. So it all looked good. You know, I wasn't particularly worried about Gareth Barry and Livermore up against Xhaka and Wilshere. They were moving the ball nicely. Sanchez looked good again, bright. Iwobi was trying to get involved. Bellerin was getting a lot of space down the right-hand side. Lacazette was doing his usual nice movement and pulling defenders around. So I was quite confident after 15 minutes in.
Yeah. After 10 minutes, it turned to shit. Dan, yeah, you know, we started brightly and then we played some of the most unimaginative football I've seen from an Arsenal side in a long, long time. No movement up top, no movement in the middle. The only thing solid about this, funny enough, was the back three. There are lots of comments in our chat about how boring the game was. What was your take on it?
Well, to sum up the first half, I looked at whoscored.com, as I usually do, and West Brom had made two tackles. I think that just sums up the entire first half. They didn't even need to tackle. They played a flat back 11. They had no interest in playing the game. I don't mind Pardew because he played for Barnet, and anyone who played for Barnet is all right with me. But everyone else hates him, and he is a bit of a smarmy prick. But when you've got Gareth Barry and Kajoy Rieck and Livermore in the centre of midfield, and then you're playing five at the back, you're not really out there to play entertaining, creative football, are you? Because that's not why Pardew's there. Pardew is there to scrape points against the big teams, maybe get the odd home win against shit teams and try and keep them in the Premier League. And West Brom are yet another one of those teams like Stoke, that I just want out of the Premier League as soon as possible because they're usually shit and they don't bring anything to football. And why the hell this game is on TV, I've no idea. Just imagine those poor other fuckers who aren't football fans who are sat there doing their hair like Chris, straightening it, putting on their glad rags. We're getting ready to go out tonight. They're not going to go out now. They're going to be too depressed to go out.
Nicky Wilson just put in the box. I chose this over self-harm.
Not too late, Nicky. Not too, some funny tweets he was doing today.
Imagine the poor away fans who travelled all the way to Birmingham to watch that show. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I know. Chris, I think one of the things that sums up our performance throughout the game, not just the first half, is the lack of players getting ahead of the ball. You have the Wobi coming deep and being totally ineffective. You have Sanchez. I thought Sanchez was really, really bright today. I thought he's the one player, other than the back three, you could hold their head up high, where he actually, you know, he was making efforts, he was trying things, just no runners. Nobody trying to get ahead of the ball, nobody trying to go into space. Lacazette is doing it all on his own up top. You know, poor Lacazette deserves a medal for, you know, effort. But there's just no support, is there?
No. It's resisting temptation to moan about the back three again. But we should not be playing a back three because it just doesn't give us anything in midfield. And the only way that a back three works is if you utilise your fullbacks.
Chris, just stop for a second, okay? The midfield didn't help the midfield today.
No, but that system doesn't.
Let's not look at the back three. We've got one of the best right backs
in attacking terms in Europe on his day, and he's clearly out of form. No, not going to deny that. We don't utilise him. Kolasinac is not. He clearly obviously come off injured today, but he's not being utilised the right way. You can't play a back three if you don't use the fullbacks in overlapping areas, and we don't do it. So why play a back three? It's pointless.
That's fine.
But
let's be straight, okay? That, you know, you're not going to have the fullbacks overlapping, okay, or your wing-backs overlapping, when your front men in a Wobi and a Sanchez keep on dropping so deep for the ball and never play the ball into space.
Yeah, I agree with that. Wobi's being played completely out of position because I love how everybody immediately jumps on Wobi every single time. Oh, it's all Wobi's fault. He's playing in the wrong fucking position. Why are people so stupid? They don't see that. I don't get it.
He's missing simple passes. So he's missing simple layoffs. He's not fit enough. He has zero impact on the game. Zero impact on the game.
Do you know what? Do you know what this fitness thing? I want to bring this up. This fitness thing is an utter load of bollocks. Do you know what I think it is with Iwobi? I think he's got too much. I think he's top heavy. I think he's stocked up too much. The fitness thing is utter stupidity. I'm sorry, and take my hands up to this. This is not a dig at you, Stevie Boyce. If you're listening to this, it's nothing to do with you. But it's just rubbish. The idea that a Premier League footballer is not fit enough to play 90 minutes is utter rubbish. When you carry
How come he eases off? I mean, he's not effective in the first 70 minutes of the game, okay? In the last 20, he's nowhere. Getting back. So it doesn't matter if he's top heavy, okay? If that's affecting his his ability on the pitch. That's his issue, and he needs to sort that out. Hmm.
But he also needs to play in the right position for the size of player he is. He's not a wide forward.
So where's his best position then, Chris?
In the number 10 role.
Is he good enough to play number 10 for the Arsenal?
I think he will be. He's not right now, no.
There you
but
go.
I think he will be.
How much effect?
When you haven't got Meza, who do you play?
Chris, I'm asking a straight question here. What impact did he have on the game today?
Not much.
No, zero, Chris. Zero impact.
And what opportunity did we give him to make that impact? Did we play him in the right position? Chris, did we give him that chance to break the lines? No.
Chris, he's not making any forward runs. He's not making any forward runs, Chris, okay? So he's not giving himself chances. In any case, John. It's not just Iwobi. Talk to me about Xhaka and Jack.
They were like, I don't know, like 6 out of 10 today. Tidy on the ball, passing was okay, nothing spectacular, but they didn't make anything happen. I get what Chris is saying about the formation, but Bellerin had acres of space down the right hand side, and he got found plenty of times and didn't do fuck all with it. Kolasinac didn't do anything and then went off injured. I don't expect anything of AZ Maitland-Niles. As Chris said, he's playing a player out of position is retarded, to be honest. But, you know, go and speak to the manager about that. Jack has started to play deeper now, so he sees more of the ball, which is fine. I get that. But then you limit all his ability to get when he turns and sort of loses three players with one touch as he drops his shoulder and opens up space. And Xhaka's the one going further forward, who can't do that. He's never done that. I don't think at any club he's ever played at. He doesn't do it international either. He's the one who sits deeper. He should be the one sitting there. So why Xhaka has become the, you know, trying to do the Aaron Ramsey thing, which he doesn't do anyway because he gets to a certain point and then doesn't actually break into the box. It just doesn't make any sense. And there's no... there's like no incisiveness with the passing. There's no increase in the speed in the passing. Every time they got the ball and they looked to turn and break, there was a man on, but instead of passing to the man on, whether it's Bellerin or Kolasinac or AZ Maitland-Niles when he came on, they just played it sideways and slowed everything down and let West Brom reset. I get playing back three today because West Brom are going to sit and play tight and play and block the middle, like lots of teams do against us. So you need to use width to try and stretch them out. But if you're just going to cross it in for Lacazette when he's on his own against, you know, Johnny Evans, Dawson and players like that, he's not going to win the ball. So you have to get the ball out wide, hold it out and draw a player out of position so then you can get someone and run in behind. No one did that today. Not one player tried to break in behind their back four or back five as it was at the end of the match. And Wilshere and Xhaka just didn't look for those passes anytime. I mean, you talk about Lacazette, the amount of times that guy like turns into a bit of space, you know, runs a channel to try and pull a defender out of position out wide. And no one makes the pass to him. And he's making those runs all the time. And it's not for him. He's doing it for the team. So someone else can come in and take his spot centrally where there's the gaps opened up. And no one even bothers to make the pass to him.
It's like the Red Sea in between them, isn't it? There's nobody coming in to support. There's nothing happening.
There was ever a game for Olivier Giroud. It was today. And this is why I get so tired when people say, oh, no, Giroud's bollocks. He only offers one thing, blah, blah, blah.
Cross the ball.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but all he's injured, okay? Let's leave out this. Let's concentrate on what happened, not what could have happened, okay? Because, you know, I felt for Lacazette today. There's absolutely no support coming his way. Danny, we didn't seem to be able to change the pace of the game at any point. I mean, you made comments in the chat box where it was, you know, this is so boring because it's all one pace football. There, you know, there was nothing incisive about what we did. Bellerin doesn't seem to be able to lose his pace at the moment. And other than the first 5 yards of Lacazette's mind and the first 10 yards with Sanchez, that's the only real pace in this team. How would you look at sort of changing that for us to be able to up the tempo of the game?
I didn't say that. That's far too wise for me to say. It's got nothing to do with time travel.
You said the game is boring.
I did say the game is boring, but you embellished it slightly to make me sound better than I already am. first of all, like Chris was saying, there's no need to play three centre-backs when they're playing with one striker, Rodriguez, who is only there to try and prove his fitness. And on loan from Southampton because they don't want him. So we should be playing four at the back. And then you've got Bellerin and Kolasinac, who they said that he was going to be okay, but he went off again injured, which is a little bit worrying, with those two bombing down the wings, because Bellerin is having to cover first for some of the back three, and I don't want him to be covering for any of the back three. When you're playing three at the back like we were today, Bellerin should be almost a winger, and so should Kolasinac and Maitland-Niles when he took over that position. But they weren't. And you're on about Jack had a terrible game. Now, Jack didn't have a greatest of game, but it hasn't taken the Premier League long to realise everybody go in there and rotation foul Jack. The amount of times in that game that he was getting kicked, they got three bookings the entire game, and Jack got a booking near the end. That's the way you stop them. Xhaka has been useless because... not useless, but Xhaka hasn't been the player that he was, because sometimes we play four, sometimes we're playing three at the back, sometimes we're playing two in front of the main midfield, sometimes we're going to play three in the midfield, depending on the substitutions at the time. And the thing with, you were talking about Iwobi, the problem with Iwobi is much like John Barnes. John Barnes, you see him playing for England back in the day, and playing for Liverpool, you go, my God, this bloke is absolutely amazing. He steps it up the level, goes to play for England, he's shit. So it must be Iwobi when he was playing at some other level for Arsenal. Wenger's gone, I like what you're doing there, son. Right, off you go. Get yourself in the first team. Repeat that. And he can't do it. And he can't do it ever. But yet he is doing it when he plays for, when he's been playing for Nigeria in short spells. I've not seen any of the games. I'm having to rely on what Giles has told me.
Dan, I don't give a fuck about Nigeria. Okay?
Well, it's a comparison, isn't it?
Stop. Pause, okay, Renaud. The bottom line is, okay, Nigeria play a far lower standard of competition than we do, okay? Chris, bearing in mind, Danny hasn't answered my question at all, can you please answer my question?
You let them play as wingers?
Remind me of the question.
Never mind, you wanted to come back at Danny on one thing, go on. Go.
Yeah, not come back at Danny, I wanted to slightly agree with Danny.
Shut up. I know it's Christmas, well, don't take the piss.
Am I the only one in this chat box and the only one on this show today that thought Jack was absolutely fine today? Yeah. I don't think he had a bad game at all.
How much was he getting abused and kicked from everybody?
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say about fanboys, and I get that.
No. I'm not talking about fanboys at all, boys. I'm not talking about fanboys, okay? I am talking about a turgid football game today where we couldn't up the tempo, okay? Where we couldn't change the pace of the game, where nobody, the only player, Lacazette are included in this as well, the only two players who affected the game in a positive manner were Lacazette and Alexis Sanchez.
I don't agree with that. Okay, I really don't.
So you tell me what was done by the midfield, what was done by the wingbacks, what was done by Iwobi. You know, what you tell me what they did in a positive manner in this game.
Jack is the point I want to make, and that's where I'm going to stick. Because the one thing that Jack Wilshere gives us, and this is something that I think is where we have to look at this contract in the long run. And everybody said that when Jack Wilshere had these injuries, including me, I back in the last season, I said, he's finished. You know, I hold my hands up 100%. I thought he was finished. If Jack Wilshere can stay fit, okay, and it's a big if, all right, he's proven that, but he's been playing, 590 minutes on the spin. He's clearly in the best shape he's been. He's clearly saying he wants to stay. You know, he's one of our sort of, the one of the players we pin our hopes on, you know, him, Ramsey, Bellerin, so what they would call the old guard. Jack Wilshere's ability, and the one thing that he does over, in my opinion, actually over Ramsey, because I think Ramsey's better further forward anyway, he does it over Xhaka, he does it over Coquelin, he does it over Nene. He receives the ball in the half turn, and he turns and he drives. He's positive. He moves forward. He holds possession. Yes, I know he does hold possession too long sometimes. But the one thing that I really thought about today, and this is on Danny's point, he did get fouled a few times today. He looked more robust. He looked far more able to take a challenge. And even Gary Neville said it on commentary. The one thing you'll never coach out of Jack Wilshere's game is the ability to receive the ball, hold it for as long as he can, and draw a foul. Now, yes, that does put pressure on his ankles and all the other bits that have been surgically attached with sellotape and blue tack, but he's positive. And I do agree with you. You know, Alexis and Lacazette were the two that tried to make something happen. But from a deep area, because Jack's not in attacking areas, people miss the fact that he does try and create from deep. And I think that you know, remember when he played for England in that role? That's the ability he has, and he does get us moving forward. I didn't think he was born today at all.
To be fair, Chris, okay, Jack Wilshere, you know, the talent is undoubted. Okay,
never hides.
No. I've always said that about him. You know, you love that about Jack Wilshere. He always wants to receive the ball. My one concern about him today was, and you know, I don't think he was poor. I thought the midfield just doesn't work with two in it, and I've always thought that. But if you look at what the midfield delivered for us, it was fairly turgid stuff, okay? But when you see Jack driving with the ball, it's a thing of beauty. Mm. It is a thing of beauty. But then he needs runners. And this team does not offer runners in any position, okay? There's no runners in any position there. And that's an issue. John, you know, look, we'll go through, never mind the halves, you know, up until 60 minutes, it was really turgid stuff. You know, we had plenty of possession, but we did nothing with it. Mm. You know, we have to replace Kolasinac with Maitland-Niles. And a shout out to Ainsley Maitland-Niles. You know, he is a boy with a lot of talent who does, you know, does what every young player coming into this team should do, is he does the simple things right. He does the simple things right. You know, we had to replace Cos had a niggle. So instead of switching to the back four, we brought on Pear.
Oh, it's fucking did my head in.
I know. Now, at this point, did you think the game was screaming out for somebody like Theo with a bit of pace?
You've already made the one sub, which was forced early on. So you've got two subs left. It's 0-0. We're playing against the joint bottom of the league team. You know, we're struggling. There's no pace in the game or anything. Theo looked like he was warming up. So I thought, okay, it's either him or Welbeck. It was basically all we've got on the bench, really, in terms of, you know, like attacking threat. So just, right, Cos has got a knock or his Achilles done, whatever. You know, he's got the tendonitis problem. It's got to come off. So switch to a back four. You've already got Mustafi and Chambers, who have both been doing, you know, fairly decent. I think Chambers got done a couple of times by Rodriguez by his pace, but we know he's not the quickest. But, you know, aerially, I thought they'd dealt with West Brom quite well.
Yeah.
You know, Ainsley Maitland-Niles has come on. He's done fine. You can play him at left back. Yeah. You know, he's going to tuck in and not be able to get as far forward, but that's okay. You know, he wasn't getting the best protection from Sanchez in the game, and Bellerin knows how to play right back. You've got no issues there. It means you can get more men forwards. So Welbeck for me didn't make as much sense as Theo, I thought. He, as annoying as Theo is, and he does my edit all the time and he misses great chances, he's more of a goal threat than Welbeck is. And also, he's that little bit of a threat to running behind defences. He likes to run and break the last line of defence, which will open up space for someone like Lacazette. Now, you get enough chances in a game with, you know, 20 minutes left with the way West Brom are going to sit back, that Theo will get a little bit of space and be able to find a pass eventually. He might cock up the first eight, but the ninth one he'll get right. You know, I'm not saying he's the saviour and answer to everything, but that made much more sense. Bringing on Mertesacker and staying with the back three when we clearly needed more going forwards, and defensively I thought we were doing okay, it made no sense whatsoever. There was no point to it. I really didn't understand it. You know, he's shown the willingness in previous games to go from a back three to a back four or vice versa. And every time he's gone to a back four from a back three, it's when we've been chasing a game, trying to win it. Or it's been 0-0 when we're pushing the last 10, 15 minutes. So why he didn't do that today makes no sense whatsoever. You know, and then you still got one sub left and you can bring on a Welbeck as well if you want. I don't understand any decisions in it. There's no rationale for it. Walcott is a much more natural right-sided player than Iwobi is. If you go to a back four, you can say to Iwobi, right, you can play in the middle now.
Yeah.
Play centrally in front of Jack and Xhaka. Walcott can play on the right. You're going to get more space in the middle where you want to be, where you can turn and you can do things and be more effective. Because in the games where he has played well, and I don't think his form has been great this season, but when he has played well, it has been where he's had the chance in the middle. Yeah. None of the decisions at all today, just everything was so slow. The manager didn't know how to react to anything, you know, and I don't understand that substitution at all. For me, that is so stupid. It's so blatantly obvious what you should be doing there.
It did smack of fear rather than ambition, didn't it? You know, and the one thing Theo always does give you, that threat of his pace, all of a sudden it keeps that backline honest.
Yeah, even if Theo doesn't touch the ball and has one of those games where he's hiding a little bit, you know, Gibbs isn't going to want to leave him on his own, of all people. He knows exactly what Theo can do and how quick he is. You know, Johnny Evans,
more the point, too.
As well, you know.
Only thing on Theo, though, is this is a bit tongue-in-cheek. What if we'd have brought him on and sold him tomorrow and there'd have been another Oxlade-Chamberlain incident?
We're not selling him to West Brom, are we?
No, I know. I'm just being facetious.
Oh, and also, on that, it's not related to this game, but everyone having a pop about Oxlade-Chamberlain, the booing thing from the Liverpool game. Does everyone else forget how awful the rest of the fucking team were against Liverpool? It weren't just Oxlade-Chamberlain. Get off the kid's back for a minute, fuck's sake.
Don't get off his back. He's a bell end.
Well, we took
when they're gone, they're gone. Danny.
Oh, also, Danny. Can I just ask one question? Actually, this is a genuine question. Jace, was it just me, or did you hear Gibbs getting booed?
No, I didn't hear that. Did you?
No,
I didn't know.
I heard when he went to take a throw-in, there was a really big round of applause for him.
Yeah, I heard that actually. Before that, a couple of times he got the ball, and it sounded like he was being booed. And I don't know if it's like some West Brom chant for another player or something, you know, like the... who is it?
I don't know.
I think Kanu and whatever was being booed for a while, didn't
they? But honestly, it sounded like he was being booed.
I didn't hear that, but there's 2 points I do want to bring up, actually. There was no playing this year. Nice.
No, they were going to get Santa to go along on his sledge with a banner behind him, but he was...
Rumour has it is because a certain DJ hasn't got his pilot's licence anymore. I think that's why.
I've got an old plane I can put that fucker in. And on the 42nd minute, there was a tribute to a gentleman called Richard Eads, who was employed by WBA... I supported that. He did a lot with them, the sort of mascots.
Was he a mascot or something like that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did all that sort of thing. He's passed away at 42. So a condolence to West Brom and his family. That's it was a really lovely round of applause throughout the stadium, to be fair. Danny, there was a nice moment between Chris Brent and Jack. Brent had just been booked for a bit of a not naughty challenge, but one of those to stop the counter attack on Jack. And later on, they were down by the byline, and the ball went out for a goal kick. Brent had shielded it well from Jack, and they were having a go at each other. But you could see them laughing, coming away from it, having a bit of fun with each other. That kind of summed the game up. There was no edge to this game, was there? There was no edge at all.
I don't think that the time of day. And the what day it is. I mean, no one wants to be watching a game, playing a game on New Year's Eve, do they? It's bullshit. Just yet again, more stuff ruined for the sake of TV. All the games should be a 3 o'clock kickoff on New Year's Day, like it used to be. And that's the only way it should be. But I was just thinking about this the other day, that if when I listen to the radio, I'm the product because it's free. And the radio is advertising to me. Football is the only fucking thing I know where we are the product and we're paying for it and they ruin our week. No. So when I'm in charge, can we vote to leave the Premier League? Can we have Brexit?
So listeners, what Danny's saying is, in answer to the question of there was no edge to the game, modern football is shit.
No, it's because of the time of day. I mean, 4:30 on New Year's Eve. No one wants to be fucking going there. Those poor fucking Arsenal fans.
I did honestly think... halfway through, sort of 20 minutes, 25 minutes in, I was like, have I slept through and it's actually New Year's Day? Like, all the players are hungover. Because there was like no pace at all about any of it.
Now those poor fuckers have drove all the way up there to the middle of bloody the north somewhere. They've still got outdoor toilets. And they're not going to get home now until, what, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night? They'll probably be just trying to drown their sorrows on the bus.
It's the Midlands. It's not fucking the end of the earth. It's not Newcastle.
It's a shithole.
Right, to the chat box. I'm quite enjoying the chat box tonight. It's all, I'm going to go. Afik Naeem's there. No Limit Stamnad's there. Michael Harriman. Leo Caroon. Mr. All Envy Me. Joe Madeira. Frank and Loki73. Sanogo the goal machine.
He is.
Wesley Goon, Goon Stephen Mills, Kelly Ma. We love Kelly Ma. Who'd you say there, Dan? Sorry, mate.
So did you say hello to Noma? She was in and out for a bit.
What's there? Hello, Noma. You're right. TK Druids in there. Look, guys, we've only got 18 likes so far. Come on, get with it. It's New Year's Eve. Be nice. Give us some likes, please. Or even some no likes. We don't really give a shit. No. But yeah. So, okay. Chris, so we spoke of this just for the game. What summed the game up for me? We're about to go to the goals, but just before the goal went right. Have I mentioned this already? Where Ainsley make the Niles points and nobody plays it in.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go straight to the goal then.
He was up for it.
Yeah, but no, make the Niles points to space, and there's no pass. What do you put that down to?
Are you asking?
It's a hard one to say, isn't it? Because I don't know how to answer it.
Sorry, mate. Corey Austin and Rudy Rastloss are in there as well.
Oh, hey, Corey. It's a hard one to answer. I mean, you know, it's one of those how long's a piece of string situations, isn't it? I mean, I watched Man United play last night. It's very similar with them. You know, all those attacking talents and all the mercurial ability of certain players. If there isn't a pass on, there isn't a pass on. So I don't know. Maitland-Niles, I think, is got a really big future ahead of him as well. And the fact that he's looking for those passes when he is one so young is a great sign. But no, it's difficult. It's difficult. Everyone's an expert afterwards, I suppose. That's the trouble. But it's. The one thing I can't remember the last time we crossed the ball in and scored. I genuinely can't, whether that be a low cross, a high cross, whatever. We do try and stick to our quote unquote principles of passing it through teams, which when it works, it's beautiful. And we're the best team to watch still in the league when it works. The problem is it doesn't work less and less and less now. And I think too many teams are better at us than doing it now. I think that's what we've got to. We have to have. I know we've been saying this forever, and it's an old record. But the plan B element, you know, I watched Crystal Palace earlier on with Man City, and you know it wasn't pretty to watch. But they mixed it up. You know, they played on the break, they lumped it forward, they tried to get people in and around the box, and they caused City some real problems. We wouldn't do that. We'll always play through teams when it works, like against Palace the other night. It's lovely, but it doesn't work enough for me, and that's where your lack of options comes in, I think, for players.
No, fair comments. Rahul Kamaka is there. Thomas from Norway. Adam Poilvord, whatever. I think that's, if it's not right, I do apologise. Ian Bones, Eskew Man. John Alexis, edge of the box, wins the free kick, takes the free kick, and the ball goes in off the cunt McLean.
I'll be honest, I'm a little bit annoyed about that because I had Alexis first goal scorer. That's fucking ruined that. Although I did have us to win as well, so I definitely don't get any points today.
For £5, John, you could still have the right scorer.
Oh, I'm way too far behind in the league, Danny. I'd have to get every score and goal scorer right for the rest of the season. I think that might look a bit suspicious.
I could accidentally press one button rather than another and you could be top.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I'm so just annoyed about the game in general that when we got the free kick, I thought, oh, okay, this is a really good chance. Alexis is going to score. The goal went in, and obviously, I was really happy that we scored. But then at the same time, I was like, this is still fucking miserable, like so bad. And the moment we scored the goal, we then went, oh, now we've got to go and hide on the edge of our own box and not do anything. just what are you doing? And the fact that, you know, it took a deflection off, that tit to go in. I mean, that did make it quite sweet that it was him. And I think he gave away the free kick as well, didn't he? But stop.
Ryan Meacham. Wait a second. Ryan Meacham, how fucking sad are you? You have to come in here and troll us. You're a pathetic cunt. Take care. Good night. Goodbye. Go fuck yourself. And I hope you have a shit 2018, you cock. That's another one gone. That's another one gone. It's going to be a good new year, guys. Carry on.
Did he say who he supported?
No idea. No idea.
I don't know how to follow that up, to be honest.
There's no follow up to that.
To strangle a kitten live on air, Jake.
I apologise on behalf of this island for James McLean.
Yeah, Charlie Davis puts the best line of... I tell you, some brilliant lines in there.
I don't think racism towards the Irish. If not a day comes around when my mum's there, he's not cunting her off.
I tell you what, I used to go over to Dublin a lot. My mates live over there, and I used to have some fun, but some of those boys are the bane of my life. They used to make my life a misery.
Yeah, I mean, the goal itself, yeah, got the deflection, but it was the only place we were going to score from was from Alexis that I could see in the game. But the ball just weren't going to get to Lacazette at any point. I put a tweet out, I think, at halftime. I said, the only player who looks capable of making a pass that can maybe make something happen is Alexis. Unfortunately, he can't pass the ball to himself. Yeah. It just, you know.
I know he tries.
Yeah, that is true. It didn't surprise me that the goal came from him because I couldn't see anyone else getting it, to be honest. But yeah, our reaction to going 1-0 up in a game where we've had loads of the ball. West Brom have countered a few times, but like their crosses were terrible. Like Matt Phillips, everyone was either over hit or under hit. Chris Brunt's one was going out for a goal kick. Cech had come and caught the other ones that had been close. And I think there was Jay Rodriguez had, one clear header, headed chance in the box.
Yeah.
He couldn't get enough power on a check, you know, got down smartly to it, to his left-hand side, which everyone always says is his worst. He got down fine for it. The moment we scored, we just, like, there was, like, Jay Rodriguez, a couple of players, just walking to the edge of our box and no one putting a tackle in. And Wilshere's shouting at Callum Chambers saying, you've got to close him down. And Callum Chambers is looking, going, what am I supposed to, Mertesacker's not saying anything. And Jay Rodriguez going, oh, fuck it, all right, I'll just have a shot then. He's just got, like, 10 yards of space around him in every direction. And it's just, for the last 10 minutes. Oh.
We didn't take responsibility individually, did we? Because I thought Chambers had quite a good game, to be fair.
Yeah.
But let's get to it then, guys. Joe Madeira wants to get to it. I'm going to go around you all individually on this. But Danny, first of all, I want you to talk about the penalty.
It's called handball, Mr. Referee. It's not called ball hand. That's all you need to say to him. And like Petacek, before we were a little bit late starting this because we were listening to Petacek talking on Sky Sports. So we pumped it up and we all had a listen to it. And I've never seen Petacek be so angry. He said, I'm not angry. I'm just really disappointed. No, you were fucking angry. He took his hat off and everything. And for him to get booked at the end of the game, and he said to the referee, we've talked about this. That wasn't a handball. You referees have agreed to this. And the referee booked him and walked off. Didn't even say a word to him. And that's a sign that the referee knows the referee has done something wrong. The Premier League, as we know, is the richest league in the world. What I want two referees on the pitch. I want two linesmen either side, so they aren't doing each half. That's four linesmen in total, and then one referee behind each goal. Now, that is because the one who is obviously on the other side isn't going to be able to see it, is he? How, as the linesman on the right-hand side, how are you meant to see something going on the left-hand side? Because the linesmen don't run up and down the same thing, do they? They stop at the halfway line last time I looked, I mean, unless they've changed it. We need more refereeing and we need less technology. We need referees to see it. And then, because, I mean, I'm sure before we've heard talk of when a linesman sees something and sometimes they won't tell the referee because then the referee doesn't want to be made to look stupid, like the lineman's going to come over and go, no, that wasn't a penalty. What are you doing? They're not going to do that, are they? There's a hierarchy. So we even need to make sure they know what they're bloody doing and realise that wasn't handball. It was ball hand. And everybody said it was. And the referee wouldn't even talk about it. Typical referee up his own arse. I mean, I don't really care about referees. We shouldn't have been in that position anyway. We should have been playing more attacking and been 4-0 up by then anyway. Cholesterol was shit.
Yeah, we should have been up. That's a fair comment. Chris, your view on the penalty incident?
Danny's made some excellent points. The one thing I want to say straight off the bat is there is no conspiracy against Arsenal with referees. Anyone that believes that is not very clever, I don't think. I know a lot of people seem to think that there is, and you know, as soon as Mike Dean's name goes up, everyone goes, oh, it's going to be all this and all that. The simple fact of the matter is Mike Dean is not a very good referee. There's no, to me, there's no other answer to it. It's not a penalty. The one thing I take slight issue with what Danny said, and I agree with Danny, unfortunately, the rules are now this ball-to-hand rule doesn't exist. People seem to think that this is a rule. Even at the level that I coach at, that is no longer a rule. It doesn't matter whether it's ball-to-hand or hand-to-ball. If a referee deems it to be handball, that's it. It does not matter. The word intent is not in the guidelines of refereeing anymore. So people may not know that. I think even the professionals don't know that. I think the thing that Peter Cech was mentioning is the fact that he clearly made reference to the fact that the referees go around the clubs, you know, whether it be pre-season, during the season, whatever, and they say, you know, these are the rules, this is the things we're going to be implementing. We had this whole thing about the diving committee this year. We had the whole thing about players not crowding a referee. We've seen that happen again this season. We saw that happen at Bournemouth last week, and a goal was given as a result of players crowding a referee. The VAR will change this potentially, because a decision like this, John may know about this, the football we've seen this season in Serie A, it's happening an awful lot now, where you're getting calls where there was one in the Inter game last night where a very similar incident was given, where a player went to ground, he had his hand sort of down by his side, it hits his hand, and the referee gave the penalty. And it took a good 3 to 4 minutes and the Inter players basically crowding around the players and saying, the decision's wrong. You need to look at this again. And this is where the other issue is going to come in now, because these referees like Mike Dean, who are, as Danny says, stuck so far up his own arse. I mean, the way he carries himself is just pure arrogance. And the only trouble is that with VAR, is that you're now going to have the issue where you're going to get players crowding referees again. And the referees are going to arrogant referees like Mike Dean are going to say, no, I'm not going to look at the VAR. And unless there is an authority on high that says, no, you have to look at VAR, they're not going to go to it. And this is where the issue is going to come in. And, Kamal, I'm not sure if he's been, I don't know if he means what he says here, but he says, thanks for clearing the handball rule up. Well, I've got to, Kamal, because people don't understand the rule. There is nothing to do with ball to hand anymore. And the decision was ridiculous. It's not a penalty. And that's the only thing you have to kind of caveat this whole result over. Was our performance poor? Absolutely. John made a good point earlier on. We should have been outside by that game. If we want to turn up and we want to make top four, we have to be going to clubs like West Brom and blowing them away in 25 minutes or a half, and then ending it, and saying the game's over. And then it doesn't come down to these small decisions. But when you go 1-0 up with 6 minutes to go, you expect to hold out for that result if you defend properly. And we did defend properly. And then we were basically fucked by a terrible piece of officiating. And the arrogance of Mike Dean has cost us that result. Did we do enough to win the game? Probably not. But when you're 1-0 up with 6 minutes to go, I'm sorry, but that decision is what's cost us there. Not the fact that we were poor on the day, not the fact we didn't score a goal, because we did, and not the fact that some of our players were not very good, because we were 1-0 up and then we got screwed. So,
OK, don't cut up into the shit then of it. That was really good. Well done.
Thank you.
John.
fucking hell. How do I follow that up? No, it wasn't a penalty for me. No, I don't think Mike Dean has a conspiracy against Arsenal. He's given penalties to us in games before. He's given decisions for us in games that he shouldn't have given that were wrong. We've won games where he's been referee. Yes, I know it's hard to believe, but look it up. The reason why people seem to hate him so much is because he's one of the top rated referees, so he generally tends to get the big games. And guess what? We don't tend to do very well in the big games. That's not the referee's fault. That's our fault. As for his decisions today, if you look at it in exact full speed at full time, normal speed, not the slow-mo, Chambers' arm does go outwards. It's not going out like that he's not signaling a plane, but his arm does go out away from his body to try and is actually to pull it in, but it's going away from his body at first. So if you see it very quickly at full speed, then maybe you think that's why he's given a penalty. I don't think it was. It was the wrong decision, but I don't think it's an excuse. We were terrible. I don't think we deserve to win the game. People will say, well, you can play awful, not deserve to win the game, and you're a goal ahead, and you shouldn't have a bad decision cost you the outcome. I understand that. But you're playing a team that's bottom of the league. Okay, we've got no Mesut Ozil. What, are you saying Arsenal can't beat West Brom without Mesut Ozil when Alan Pardew's in charge? I can understand if this is West Brom that had a different manager and then Tony Pulis has come in and stabilised them. they've done nothing under Pardew at all since he's been there. They haven't had a win yet under him. You get a new manager, you normally have a win. The performance was not acceptable. Yeah, the referee's decision was totally wrong. Nothing will be done about it.
I just want to talk about the decision at the moment. The performance and what have you, we've covered.
The decision itself, yeah, is wrong. I don't know if it's still the case. It used to be that the referee had to be 100% on giving the penalty, like the decision being correct. And if he had any doubt, then he wasn't supposed to give it. That used to be the ruling. I don't know if it still is or not. And just very quickly on the VAR thing, that won't solve anything. Because there's been games in Serie A this season where they've gone to VAR and they've still given an awful decision. Because it's a human being watching the screen. And human beings disagree on things. And sometimes human beings make mistakes. You're never going to get a perfect decision in football. Yes, this is a bad decision. Look at the Man United game, the Yoshida one. That one wasn't given either. And that was even more, debatable.
I just want to give my take on this. I think when you look at that, the hand's not outside the body. Okay, the ball's come straight at him. He's got no chance to move his hand out of the way. To give a penalty there is disgraceful, to be honest. He had enough of a view. You can talk about the movement all you want, but as I say, it's in front of his body. He can't do anything else with it. It's unfortunately, Mike Dean is just a twat. He's just not a good referee. And it's unfortunate today because I thought, other than maybe a couple of incidents where he could have pulled the yellow out, I thought he refereed quite well. But how is Chambers supposed to do anything there? He's pulling his arms in, you heard Gary Neville on TV describing it. And I think Gary Neville summed up perfectly. But it's annoying because Mike Dean's just ruined a really decent performance from himself.
Yeah.
But
that's the other thing as well. If you're a referee, that's how fine the margins are. You can have a decent game. There's a couple of fouls you haven't given or yellow cards you haven't given, but most people have said, yeah, it's okay because you let the flow of the game. But one decision, because that one is in the box.
Yeah.
But that decision,
Jace, really
should be, necessarily be more important than all the others. You've got to be consistent the whole way through. And I just footballers aren't consistent for 90 minutes. I don't think you're ever going to get a referee that's perfect consistent for 90 minutes. But yes, it was the wrong decision. I don't think anyone's.
I think the major thing which sums it up about Mike Dean is you saw Cech's reaction afterwards.
Yeah.
You saw Cech's reaction. And as Cech said, I've asked him, hold up, you've told us this before. You have told us in this situation, this is not a penalty. So why is it a penalty now? And when Mike Dean just books him and doesn't talk to him about it, it proves he's a cunt.
Okay, so let me read you something really, really quickly, right? This is directly because of the coaching I do down here. This is the same information. I've got a PDF in front of me. This is what we are given, okay? And this is what Premier League teams are given directly from the FA, and this is what we're given at Sunday League level, okay? Handling the ball involves a deliberate act of a player making contact with the ball with the hand or arm. The following must be considered: the movement of hand towards the ball, not the ball towards the hand, the distance between the opponent and the ball, unexpected, the position the hand does not necessarily mean that there is an offence, touching the ball with an object held in the hand, i.e. clothing, shin guard, hitting the ball with a thrown object is an offence. The goalkeeper has the same risk. That's all about goalkeepers. So I'm going to tweet that in a minute. Just consider all of those options. Consider any of those and tell me that any of those things happened in that incident. The answer is no.
Exactly. I'm just going to reply to Fabrice Nazon as well. Here's a question. Why was Chambers' arm in that position? Why not be on his back? Because he's covering the man. He's covering the man. He's off balance. You run with your arms out. You don't run
with
your arms when you're back. Mm. Okay. The one, the only, Dave Gunaholic is in the chat box. Rudy Rastos is there as well. John Maverick. Oh, his hand did move. No, it didn't, John. It didn't. Dave.
Are you going to read Andrew's message?
His arm did move away from his body.
Yeah, but not towards the ball, not to gain any sort of deliberate advantage.
No, I'm not saying it was deliberate or anything else. I'm just saying his arm did move away from his body, which is I'm not trying to make excuses for Mike Dean. It was the wrong call. You say that you see, you know,
who's Kurt
Hennig? He's a wrestler. He's dead, Mr. Perfect.
He's chewing gum out. Knock it away.
Okay. He did, yes. He did.
Let's be honest, boys. It's a ridiculous decision. Ridiculous decision.
Can I say something, Con, why he had his arms out? Gibbs was to his left in front of him. You don't expect your left back to kick the ball up and backwards when you're facing in that direction. So he's probably going towards him, ready to get a little bit of argy-bargy with him. That's the way I saw it. And I did put in our own chat box. I put this tweet sums it up from Keith Laguna, who we all know. He says, if you're a referee and your name is the number one trending topic on Twitter following a top-level sporting event, you need to look in, have a good, hard look in the mirror. I think that is a brilliant tweet.
That's a very good point, actually. That's very, very good.
Read out OG.
A good, hard look in his bank account and says, I couldn't give a fuck what people think on Twitter.
Yeah. Right, we're going to questions now. That's the game, guys. It was really disappointing. When people say, you know, we didn't do enough to win the game, no, not with our play, but we had more shots on target, you know, the stats showed you the better team, but we are the better team. Unfortunately, we didn't play with enough figure. And that was... Well, Dan, calm down. Not you, some of the chat box thing is a fool. He's refereed more games in the Premier League than anybody else. I'm not happy with him at the moment, but there you go. He's hardly a fool. First question. I'm going to come to you, Danny. Sorry. And this one is from Rudy Rastlos. Do you think Dean would have awarded a penalty for us in the same situation?
I did think, because straight after that, it ran down their other end and there was quite a little bit of argy-bargy going on down that end. And I was wondering, oh, because it was on the left-hand side of their box. I remember thinking, oh, I wonder if this happens. And then it didn't happen. But one thing that we didn't talk about, the one bit of actual, I want to go back and have a look at this. It was an actual bit of interdimensional magic. Right on the right-hand side of their post near the end of the game, Lacazette is facing towards the stand and he manages to kick the ball up and have a shot on goal. Did I imagine that or did that really happen?
No. He should have taken the shot earlier, to be fair to him.
But, wow, that was magical. But yeah, no, I don't think he would have done. Because I know sometimes referees do try, and if they think, oh, I have made a mistake here, they do try and balance it out. But if he'd have given away two penalties when the second one was just as dodgy, he would have been he'd have been in trouble. And I think his ego doesn't really bother him whether he made a mistake or not.
No. John, that black guy asks, how bored are you guys of watching this Arsenal team play? We don't play good football anymore.
I was ready to go back to bed, to be honest. Honestly, I have real trouble sleeping or going to sleep, but I'm really not joking. Other than the Palace game, Arsenal are genuinely trying to put me to sleep at times at the moment. They are fucking dire to watch. It's not exciting at all. The worst thing is I still, like an idiot, get excited before games, even though I'm going, I know it's going to happen. It's going to be terrible. They're going to pass the ball sideways for 80 minutes and try and walk it into the back of the net. And I'm going to be annoyed and get pissed off and then go, for fuck's sake, and start shouting at Wenger and moan at all you lot in WhatsApp and everything else. But yeah, still get excited before games. And I start watching it. And, oh, fuck.
To be fair, I am going to give you the nickname Young Steve.
I can't help it. It's getting worse and worse, mate. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Young Shipman, yeah. Young Shipman. Oh, actually, Jace, do you think Czech should have done better on the penalty?
No, look, it's a penalty. He nearly got to it. He chose his corner and the guy's put it down the middle. It's a difficult one, isn't it? You know, I mean, I thought Czech played well today, other than one drop early doors, made a couple of decent saves, one really good clearance from a corner. No, I think Rodriguez has done well with the penalty. I think he's known what he wants to do. Czech nearly got to it, but point now. So yeah. It's the point, unfortunately. Christopher, hello.
Hello.
You all right?
You?
It's nice to have you back. It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
I do enjoy...
Del Radio or anything, was it?
I do enjoy arguing with you.
He's muted himself.
Sorry.
He's got worms. He's like this the whole time. He's like fucking Leo Sayle or that other one who can't see. He's like this. I get seasick watching
him. Right, okay. Hold up. Stop.
Can't see. Fucking hell.
Everything Rudrud evidence, would Mazzaha or Mahrez improve us? And if so, which one would you take?
Who was the first one, sorry? Zaha.
Zaha, yeah.
I mean, John Welsh on the wing would improve us at the moment. I think I'd probably...
quite a good crosser, me, thank you very much. I'm a very good crosser of the ball. I've only got
there you
right
go. Which...
I literally can't kick a ball a yard with the foot.
Just cross it, that's all you need to do.
John Welsh in the box would be better.
That's my new
in answer to that question. I actually have warmed to Mahrez a bit more this season than I had done previously. I know there was a clamour to sign him when he was good for Leicester, but he went missing too much when he had a bit of a sulk when he didn't get his move. So I was a bit worried about the attitude. I'd actually prefer him over Zaha. I think Zaha is a player who at the level he's at right now will always impress. But when he gets the big move, I know he was young at Man United, he probably didn't have the right coaching, etc. But I'm not convinced that Zaha is the real deal on the top stage. Mahrez has been very good at international level. The only issue I think with Mahrez is that he needs players sort of in a Vardy role to pick out. And Lacazette's not the same type of finisher. And I do think Mahrez would be a little bit... People are frustrated with Sanchez. I think they'd have the same frustrations with Mahrez. But I do think he'll get probably a move from Leicester because he has proven this season that since he's got his head down and not got the move, he's still a very, very good footballer. So, yeah, probably him. But I don't think we'll get either for the record.
Cool. Okay. John, West London Goon asks, 2018, is it going to be worse than 2017? Or how much worse is it going to be?
2017 was okay. We won the FA Cup, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was nice. That was really, really nice because that was a huge surprise. I really wasn't expecting that.
That was a brilliant performance.
Yeah, it was a great game of football. Is 2018 going to be worse? I mean, at the moment, I'd say yes, because I don't even know if we could win an FA Cup. So that's the high point, I guess, of this year, isn't it? He's got the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I'm going to say worse, but maybe we have a exciting summer transfer window.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I always kept a straight face when I said that.
Fuck off. Jeff. I'm sorry. So, oh, you twat. Danny. Jeff Hollerfriend says, Vic Akers was conspicuous in his absence from the celebration of Alexis's goal. That combined with mixed length sleeves and red shorts must surely be a signal of dressing room unrest. What do you think?
And the fact Man City spent more on fullbacks.
I'm not talking to Jeff at the moment because he sent me a picture last night of his FIFA squad battle things.
And he's worried about what he's going to say then.
He's in the elite, isn't he? I can barely get to gold two and he's in the fucking elite.
That's because Max plays.
I wouldn't be surprised because Max is very skillful and Jeff has got old thumbs, old grey thumbs, but... Yeah, Vic Akers and the Twins, didn't see much of them today. There is definitely something going on there. But I don't like the red shorts. I know there's
What did we all think of the onesie?
I quite liked it.
It looked like a rumble suit. I couldn't do it.
He couldn't stay for good. I think next season we're getting the Red Sox back. That's been confirmed. So that's good because I don't like the white socks. But I think shorts should always be white. But for a little change, I tell you what, it's better than wearing the bloody away kit when there's no reason to wear the away kit. I'll say that much.
It's a marketing, though, again.
Yeah. And there'll be...
I really don't care.
It'll be a collector's item.
Nicky Wilson. Shut up. Nicky Wilson asks, how many of our players are playing out of position?
I saw that. I think Nicky's been a bit facetious there. I think he's trying to blame me.
I think he's riling you and rightly so. And
okay.
Do
you want a short answer to this?
Yes.
That's fucking impossible. What is John going to answer for you?
No. I'll answer this, Nicky. If you want to talk about players playing out of position, go watch Manchester City and tell me where Kevin De Bruyne is playing under the best coach in the world of all time ever. That's all I'm going to
say. Yes, but he's playing well.
Doesn't make a difference.
He's playing really well when they're top of the league.
Doesn't make a difference. The question is, how many of our players
are playing out? 1 point ahead of him.
And the, all I'll say is he's playing that position there.
Ricky, I think you poked him with a stick and I think you hit the nerve. Nice.
Thank you, Ricky.
Rudy Rastos, John, do you think City play exciting football all the time?
All the time? Every time I've watched them this season, yeah, they've been really nice to watch. Sorry. I know some people don't like. Rudy doesn't like me at the moment because I'm saying that Arsenal are boring to watch. It's just my opinion. I think they're boring to watch. I think we're boring and very predictable. And I think Man City are exciting to watch. I don't think they're perfect every single game. Do you think they're exciting to watch?
I've got to be honest. I think Man City are one of the best teams I've ever watched play football.
Breaking news. Even Alan Pardew has said the decision for the penalty was tough on Arsenal. Fucking hell. So when you know it's D-Day, don't you? Jesus.
Yeah. Then you know it's a shit decision, don't you?
Yeah.
I bet he did a stupid little dance in the dressing room, though.
Yeah,
I got to be honest. I love watching City play at the moment. I just think they're a breath of fresh air. Yeah. I wish we were playing like that. And I think Neville mentioned it in his commentaries. He spoke about the 98 Arsenal team. And when Wenger first came in, the beautiful football we played. And I mean, it was joyful to watch.
If we played and went back.
Most damning thing I would say about this team at the moment is think I actually enjoyed watching Cesc, Jack and Alex Song. And, you know, and some of the other reprobates that we had in that, like Danielson and Bentner and that lot. I think they played more exciting football than this team does.
Cesc is the key in that, though, isn't he? I don't know.
Haven't we got Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez in our team?
Oh, yeah, agreed. But Cesc played that slightly deeper because we were still 4-4-2 or 4-3-3 then, weren't we? And I'm not being funny.
When you've got your 10 and your Alexis and whoever's playing the other position, whether it be Ozil or it will be coming deep all the time, it just clogs everything up. It's a nightmare. Danny, Charlie Davis asks, what's the rationale behind playing Welbeck from the right or being behind Lacazette given his physical profile? We've criticised Walcott for years for disappearing in the same position.
This is another case of what is Welbeck's best position? When we first bought him, I thought, he's a striker because he's a youngish Englishman. He's made a real decent impact from the bench at Man United. He's England international, scores goals at all levels. I thought, we're buying ourselves another striker. Maybe not an out-and-out striker like an Ian Wright or an Aguero or something like that, but a striker that's a little bit more mobile, can do a lot of other things. No, he's not. No, he plays in behind the main striker. Oh, no, he's not. He plays out wide. Oh, no, he's not. Maybe he's more of an attacking midfielder. And then you realise nobody fucking knows what his job is. He doesn't know what his job is. He needs to. We always ask this question, don't we? How many of our players or which of our players would walk into other clubs? Welbeck would be at a club like West Ham or Stoke or West Brom, and he'd be doing quite well there. And others may take a punt on him, but no other big team would ever buy Welbeck. We only paid 15 million for him, which now wouldn't even get you a packet of pork scratches from League One. So it's no great loss, but he's going nowhere with us. It's just another one of players that Wenger has gone, I like you playing as a striker, right? I want you to come with us and play in a different position. It's confusion. That's what it is. And when you've got confusion, you have no confidence in your role.
Is Marcus Rashford much better? Because I don't think he is. And he's apparently the next sensation of England, isn't he?
Well, if he came to Arsenal, Wenger would fucking beat any kind of...
I think Rashford, he's got an eye for goal and he's played... Mourinho is not doing him any favours, is he?
Don't stack this on Mourinho, for fuck's sake.
Right now, Rashford is... I'd love to have Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
Would you really?
Yeah.
I was just putting it. Martial, I would. I just putting it out there. I don't get the hype with Rashford at all.
I think he's a very exciting player. But I do think, Mourinho is going to wreck him if he stays at that club too long.
Well, along with the rest of the squad.
Yeah.
And football in general.
Mkhitaryan, Martial. The list is goes on, doesn't it?
Well, it's one of those. It's one of those. I'm going to pick up a point here.
Careful.
Doing an Arsenal.
No, I'm just going to ignore the bollocks. That was very sharp. I'm just going to ignore. I'm not being funny. We've got a really good chat box. I've done a couple of twats.
There is.
But
there's a couple on here, to be fair.
It was nice of you to join us.
That's exactly the point I was going to make.
I tell you what, that's it for tonight, guys. I've got to go to the booze and get fucked up because I'm not very happy at the moment. First of all, to all of you Arsenal fans in the chat box, nobody else, they can all fuck off, everybody else. Happy New Year. I hope 2018's a cracker for you. My thanks to Danny. Danny, thank you.
Cheers, Jace.
Cheers, buddy. John, thank you very much.
Cheers, Jace. Thank you very much, mate.
Well played. Chris, it's lovely to have you back. I've missed you talking bollocks.
Thanks. Thank you, I think.
Sorry, mate. You know I've got to chuck a
drink. It's nice to slide on again, and let's hope we turn up on Wednesday and beat Chelsea, because that will make it all right again, I think, for at least another 24 hours.
No, yeah, I don't know who's on for the Chelsea game.
Is it?
No, but we've got the thing on Wednesday. We've got the radio show on Wednesday. So whoever's on then, we'll see you then. I can't remember who it is. Happy New Year, guys. I hope it's a cracker for you. Thank you ever so much for your support. It's been superb. I can't believe there's 184 people watching now, you know, on New Year's Eve. Go out there, have a few beers, enjoy yourselves, and take care. Thank you very much. Danny, switch this shit off.
Yes, sir.